for the coming, for the next 2 days, we'll have the course with Professor Antonino Saggio. Professor Antonino Saggio is a professor at Sapienza University in Rome. He teaches architecture studios, design studios, and also CAD courses, so computer-aided design. Professor Saggio is also the coordinator of the PhD course at La Sapienza University in Rome. And this weekend we'll have this very condensed course about the topic that the professor will introduce.
Very good. Grazie. Un applauso. Grazie. Ci sono delle formalità nella vita. There are some formalities which are very important to follow. Because you will be in my hands. And you will be completely transformed after these 2 days. You will not be the same as before. That's the point. Otherwise, why you are here? So you will be transformed. That is my bet. You will learn things. You will learn particularly how to do things. Because this is a mini course that it is extremely dense and also extremely focused on capabilities that I want you to learn. So that you will be able to operate in the direction that I think could be extremely important for you in your professional and architectural future. So you will know how to do things, which are very important in this moment. Okay? Very good. So we have, basically the idea is that we are in this type of, okay. We are in this kind of full immersion, and we are coming down to a class of a much smaller number, so in a way you are much privileged. Smaller number, higher privileged. Right? So you are lucky to be able to follow that. How we go to do this, and what we are going to learn, and what we are going to do. He's suddenly got problem. He gets upset. The okay, let's see. Here we go, I hope. Okay, now, so the first thing that is a good idea, I know you a little bit by name, because I have to locate you, so here you write your name and last name. All of them are already architects, or are some that are planners, or
engineers.
So you write down your name and last name, and close between parentheses, just so a little bit I can locate you.
Oh, strano, no? I hope it is fine. Okay. So, let's see. We have we will be together tonight until a certain time, at least six, I suppose, no? At least six, because we started a little bit, so we have one part today, one part tomorrow in the morning, another part in the afternoon, and the whole day on Sunday. I will be only partially on Sunday, but we structure the work in such a way that you will go and produce what we are doing. Okay, so first of all, let me show you one thing that is very important. It's very important that you take notes of what is going on. Of course, you are all master students, you know that. Because I will give information that can be very, very important, and then if you get lost, then it will be difficult to do. Okay, so the first thing that we do, we have to have access to this web page. That is very important because everything that I'm going to show you is already in the internet, with some surprise also. So it will be important to know that how the structure will work. So basically my name is Antonino. This is my name, that is the first keyword that you must know. This is my name, Antonino Saggio. So I'm in Google. And the first coming is, of course, my web page. So you click here, and here you are. This is my web page is around 6 giga of material. So it's web pages that go on since 1998. And in a way, it's the environment in which I develop many, many of my activities. The first curiosity that you may want to have is this person never come here? What are his relationship with police? It's a very logical question. Is the first time that he's here or not? Let's see what he did with police. So this little thing over here is very interesting and very important because you write down. Let's see how many times the police is inside your site or inside your website. So you ask, and then you come out with two pages. So the first thing, for example, is here. Tuck. What is that? That is the seminar that I did last year at the master course. So I have already an experience here in a similar structure, so I know what is possible to do in this type of format. Last year we did together Giuseppe Terragni Architecture, again with the idea that was not only to give you some level of cultural or historical or architectural information, but also some operative one, so some way to do alla Terragni, okay? So last year we did that, we had the seminar, the lectures, everything, and even an exhibition, etc. But as you go, you see that there are many things over here. So, for example, okay, let's see the number two here. That was a lecture that I did in 2001. And then will be the seminar thing as well, etc. So I was in many occasions here. Last time I was key speaker in last October in the Tirana week. So this is just a search in the website, because this is a very interesting trick. Basically, I don't know, Lelian, if you knew that. This is a search. So if you look, for example, what would be another interesting curiosity that we may have? Where is the list? Where is the right list? Give me the list. No, give me first the list and then you continue. Agi, who is that? Agi. What will be your next curiosity? For example?
Roma,
no, I'm not interested in Roma. I am interested in Lelian Bregasi. Okay, let's see what this Lelian Bregasi relationship with Mr. Saggio was. Here it is. Oh my God, pretty much. Number four pages. Four pages of relationship. Oh my God. Let's start with this one. Haha. What is that? Probably it's a graduation thesis. Probably everything is here. So is the activity of Mr. Lelian Bregasi with me many years ago, but there are many others. So you start to explore and you will find lots of information. So this is something very important for you to understand. Also because you will see how instruments that I provide to you are really like weapons, you know, are really things that you can use, are really like things within which you can do things. That is the whole idea. So I will provide you with tools and instruments in order you do things. That is the whole idea, okay? This also is a very interesting thing. You know that a website can be completely explored in another language. So just, I already put it in internet, the basic material that we are going to discuss today. Okay, so this is very important because you can access the material that I'm going to show you. But this is done with a trick. It's done with a secret link that I always put in the web pages in order to be sure that that you know, but it's not public, because it's not nice to be public, because I'm here to give a lecture to you, not to everybody. So you must understand where is the hidden link, and this time the hidden link, it is over here. In this particular point, if you click here, you see you don't see anything. But if you know where the hidden link here is, that is here, in this particular spot, you go here. And basically you go in this page, that is in a way some type of secret page, within which we go to follow the material, and basically to see all the material that I'm going to show you to you, which is a lot, is very structured, and there are a lot of things that we are going to do with this. Okay? And this is also a way to well, okay. So I've been 3 or 4 times to Albania, probably more, 5 or 6. Last year I made several lectures about history, about this, about that. Last year I had two seminars and workshops with young faculty of the polis in Sicily. And we developed a workshop there. And then I was start to think what could be a good topic for us to do together in these 2 days and a half, and something that you can learn. So I decided to show you how you build what is called low-rise identity. What does it mean, low-rise identity? As a formula, and also as a concept, and as a way to build, a way to create construction and architecture. So, this is the topic that we are going to do. We are addressing low-rise identity. As a strategy to create architectural intervention within the boundaries of the built city. Okay? Traditionally, the word low-rise identity, it is associated with another word. Traditionally, it comes from low-rise identity housing. Right? In the 70s and 60s and 70s, etc., the idea was low-rise identity housing. So it was really confined in the concept of housing. How you create, basically, intervention that are low-rise, but achieve a very high urban density, as a strategy that is difficult, different from the strategy of a separated tall building. So instead of the separated tall building, how you create a low-rise identity strategy in housing? We are dealing with that as a specific strategy to operate in the Balkan city, and in particular in Tirana. We have already selected an area, but we are going to show you the area only tomorrow or Sunday morning, you will decide when, in which you will operate as a designer. So this whole thing is not only general cultural, it basically is a mission control, then you are on the battlefield. Bella, eh? This is a mission control, I will explain how to do it, and then you are in the battlefield. If you are not living in the battlefield, it's not, you know, why we do that? It's not just for theory. You must do it, otherwise you have to play the game. So I don't know what is the metaphor that we prefer, but it is something that refers to
theoretical and instructive parts that have also an application. Otherwise, it will be something different.
So you have to start with this idea that we know already very well in which area you are going to operate and how you are going to use the thing that you are learning today and tomorrow.
So we do a long trip.
We have to eat many concepts in order to give you in a short time enough knowledge to be quick enough and to operate in this thing. So as a formula, for now, we keep in mind that yes, we're studying very much low-rise, high-density housing. But in reality, what we'd like to do, we want to build on this, but we want to enlarge the issue and call it more generally low-rise, high-density architecture. We enlarge the topic in a way. But in order to arrive to this, we have to study a lot how was done low-rise high-density housing to understand the technique. Okay? Okay. Does this make sense? I can switch to Terragni in 5 seconds. He said, no, we want Terragni. I'll do Terragni. Hanno capito questo? I can switch to Caravaggio in 5 seconds, or to Terragni, or to Peter Einstein, or to whatever other topic. But I think that this was very hot and very interesting for you to do. Is that right?
Yeah.
It is interesting.
Last week, the new regulatory plan was approved. So
it's also, but the whole idea, my whole idea was, okay, if there are a certain number of persons, if 20-25% will really understand that, then probably 5 or 6 of them will operate in reality like that. If there is somebody that starts to operate in reality, then the technique will spread. The important thing is how to learn how to do it. Okay? So this is kind of the introduction, and now we start to approach this part, okay? This thing that we want to do it together. Okay, when I was more or less your age, so around 20, between 24 to probably 35, 36, not your age, you are probably in your 20, late 20s more or less, I think, no? Anyway, when I was in that phase of my life, I was really an architect and a designer of housing, really. That was what I was doing, and that I was doing this in my graduation thesis, in my master thesis in America, and my PhD. Everything was around this topic. So for around 10 to 15 years, I was very much into this. And after graduated in Italy, in 79, on a project in housing, I went to America in 1983 to take a master with a very important professor that was probably the best architect in low-rise high-density housing. So I went to America, I was his assistant, and then his professor with him as a young faculty. I studied a lot his work, and I published a book on his work in 1988. The architect name is Lusauer. So we are studying a lot during these days His approach to architecture is a way of doing things. We are trying to capture as many techniques, ideas, and concepts, and then we'll try in some way to use, to incorporate in you. The thing is that I did this book, the Italian book here it is, in 1988, when I was only the second year of my PhD. Okay. And then this summer, I almost spent a lot of time, basically all my free time during the summer, to create an English edition of this book. So there is an English edition of this book, which is this one. It's almost 200 and so pages, that will explain the whole thing. And this translation in English of this book was provided by a special grant. So this is the book version of this book, which arrived, that I made this summer, and it is over there. It is possible to have it, and this is the book. We can start to have it circulating, because it's an important material of our thing. So we can move things fast, because we know it very well, and also we have material to do it. Okay, now, let's start to see. So let's start to study a little bit who this Lusauer is and why it is so interesting, very interesting for us, and it will be really the key figure to operate within the context that we've been discussed. So in a way you are, in my opinion, you will be able to operate almost as a Lusauer in Tirana or in a similar situation. Okay, so let's go back. The material is over here and is all organized in different chapters of images. So since we have enough time, I can start to approach the matter slowly, so that you will understand also the depth of things, and in some way how deep are certain things. And I think it is also interesting for you to know. There are two options now. Okay, we want to have see in real way is architecture in the inner city, or we start from a more typical way describing how it started or everything, or we are curious to see. I'm curious to see. I think it's much more interesting to do it in this way. So let's do this game, okay? Okay. Let's visit the Society Hill. Because if you are in America and you know and you say, particularly in the 60s and 70s, and you say Lusauer, a cultivated architect who tell you, yes, Lusauer, the great architect of housing. And then he would say, yes, the architect of Society Hill. Both words doesn't mean much for you. So let's go and see the idea. C'è la mia idea di questa città, no? Estremamente, una volta la città socialista è una città in cui la densità è molto dilatata, no? Ecco. The idea is that this idea of a city that was pretty with lots of empty space in the socialist time, and then basically lately it's been in these last 20 years in a process of very interesting densification of the city. But probably if you know how to do it with better technique, you can keep a high level of vivibility, but and keeping some of these contexts. So if we go back to our society in Philadelphia, okay. Okay, and we can start to have a sense of this society neighborhood to which the architecture of Lusauer was very much known. Let's see a little bit the city and some of these places, so that we have a sense, just a general sense of what we are talking about. Of course, Philadelphia was a grid city, and the neighborhood of so-called Society Hill was the most the oldest neighborhood, starting to be organized with this grid system in the 16th, 17th century, because of course was in the area close to the river. And now, okay, we can start to feel and to see some of this intervention that we are going to see in a lot more detail and understand a lot more techniques, and then we can kind of have a feeling of what these places look like. Okay, let's zoom, let's have a little tour, just very, very quick, very superficial, like we are tourists, okay? Just like we are tourists. And to have just a very, very superficial sensation of what these things look like. Dovrebbe montare l'immagine adesso. È un po' lenta, eh? Okay, it's too slow. È troppo lenta. Lo faremo diversamente. Let's do it something more. Let's go in a more kind of traditional, more traditional way. But basically, if we want to have the images from Google, that will give you the idea, more or less, that I was interested to transmit. We can do it in remote. So this is the type of city and the type of intervention, how they look for real, because are all from Google. Of course, it was much more fun to go in internet, but it is stuck here. Non vuole, it doesn't want to. Okay, fine. Computer needs to relax sometimes, over stress. Okay, it doesn't want to do it, not do it. Okay. Now, so let's start to discuss a little bit about this Lusauer, that is a very interesting personality as an architect, and also as formation. Basically, I met Lusauer when he was more or less my age of now, so was in his the second part of his 50s, and when he was the head of the Carnegie Mellon University School of Architecture and the dean. So I was there as a Fulbright student and then assistant and young teacher, and I worked with him a lot. Basically, his career was rather interesting because he started, these are works of the 1950, and I found that these works very recent, and I think it is so interesting, I think, to see what in the 1950 they were doing. This is a kind of a studio work for a tropical shelter, clearly based on the structural issues. His formation, first formation, was a formation related to the so-called Bauhaus School in America, in a school in Chicago created on the principle of the Bauhaus School. So there was several subjects that also has to deal with art and all has to deal with photography and has to deal with that combination of aspects that are typical of that moment. So, for example, these are his pictures, these are his drawings, and this is one of his projects in that moment. After the first school, he was in Europe as doing some type of duties in the army, and then he joined other school of architecture, taking a summer course in Venice. And he, in this occasion, for example, he made this very interesting portrait of a architect famous in Italy that's called Carlo Scarpa. These are some of his work. This just to give you the sense of the sensibility in a way of this young artist, a young person at that time. Then he went to follow a course, a master course in Philadelphia with Lucan. Lucan was the most important architect of that moment in America. And as you probably know, some of you probably know, Cannes is an important point of change in the way that architecture was developed. Because basically it's an architect that put back at the center issues that related to some type of integrity of the idea of architecture. An idea in which construction, function, form are in a way creating a very, very unified whole. Why, basically, in doing this was kind of different than the typical modernist attitude that was a much more analytical and separated attitude. And I found that recently this project that he did just, Lusauer did just after school, and that he, of course, has series of elements quite common with Kahn. So this in some way is just give you a little bit overview of his background. Now let's start to understand what happens with this Society Hill, with this neighborhood. Society Hill became an example of urban renewal in the United States because it was generated by principles that were quite different than the normal principles that were being used in urban renewal in the United States. Generally speaking, making the things very, very simple, the general approach to urban renewal was that one to create important infrastructure. We are talking of 40s, 50s, and 60s. Create important, very massive infrastructure, change completely the pattern of the existing city and created generally quite high-rise building, a new urban form that was surely completely different from that of the past. This strategy was a strategy, urban renewal or urban redevelopment was thought, that in a way was typical of the modernist type of approach to the city. You probably know, you probably remember the drawing of Le Corbusier, for example, for Plan Voisin, in which he, even in Paris, he basically turned down the old Paris and he put it in his Cartesian skyscraper. So there is this whole idea that was related to the first, let's say, heroic phase of industrial revolution and of modernism in architecture, in which the idea of a new efficient city with its own rule can surely dominate it and transform completely the existing pattern. We are talking of ideas and position of the 40s, of the 50s, on the 60s. You don't naturally today we are much more aware of differences and complex of the situation. But why it is so interesting this this society hill urban renewal, and particularly within it the work of Sauer, that was one of the first, or probably surely the first and the most important type of urban renewal that was not following that type of modernist rule or modernist machinery, changing the structure, changing the feeling completely of the city and changing from the old to a new machine type of things. So if we are going back in Tirana and we want to operate like Mr. Le Corbusier, we know clearly how to do it, you know. We put a little bit of bulldozer here and there. We create a little bit of viaduct, suspend it, and we created our isolated prism with our efficient system. Probably we know many more techniques today. So it is interesting to re-see this in this fashion. So Society Hill was in a way the first type of urban renewal of the inner city that was following different rules and different ideas. Now, the idea is why, first of all, what is the situation of this area in when this operation of urban renewal took place? Well, America is known, of course, for the process of urban sprawl in the 30s, 40s, 60s, 70s, etc. So that means that the city grew immensely on the outside with very, 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 very low density, this urban sprawl of detached house, and at the same time the inner part of the city were more and more abandoned. So there were huge areas inside the old city that were abandoned in 50s. And the society situation was that basically was an area of industrial objects and within a residential type of structure, you know, because the city was evolved in this way. Another key person has to be named here, that is the urbanist Edmund Bacon. Edmund Bacon is a key person. He also writes a book that's called Design of Cities. Okay, Edmund Bacon is very important because was put it at the head of the planning section of the city, like Boigas in the Barcelona of the 80s, in a way. So he was able to influence the strategy of the urban renewal. The idea was to create the best of the strategy was to keep the best of the past and put the best of the new, in a way, but with a very strong respect of a series of rules, which are, first, number one, how to, this urban renewal has to be done. First of all, the structure of the city in terms of the urban grid has not to be modified. So this seems to be logical today, but at that time was in a way revolutionary. So the idea that the pattern, the existing pattern of the city was kept. Then a series of paths were created in order to connect the neighborhood of Society Hill with some historical areas that were relevant, because Philadelphia is the city of the American Revolution, right? It's the city of Franklin, it's different. So, basically, what you see in this drawing, it is a series of paths that has been ameliorated to reconnect this structure, I mean the structure of the city, but keeping the form and the grid as it was, so keeping the structure of the city as it was. Then, very other important rule was that one to keep the material palette. That means, in some way, impose to the new construction the respect of a certain material palette. So mainly bricks, type of finishing and things like that. And this is the key thing, and we go in the concept of low-rise, keeping the height compatible with what was around. So not changing the height too dramatically, with very little increments, very, very, very measured increments. So, continuation of the urban of the urban grid existing and keeping the urban grid. The second, connecting with paths, green paths, strategically, of course, part of this new of this new existing this new neighborhood that you have to renew with existing parts and ameliorate some of the important parts and the monuments, particularly respect of the height and a compatible palette of material. So these four rules are rather important to keep in mind because they are coming from this experience. Okay, then we are in the United States. So we are not in Russia or in Italy. We are in the United States, which means one very simple thing. What does it mean that we are in the United States? Then everything must be done within Yes, but more or less at the same time, we are in the United States. Within the marketplace, this is the elegant way to say it. Within the marketplace, so that means that, okay, you have this principle, okay, you have this principle, but you operate within the marketplace. That means that you are creating certain rules that are strategic rules, but at the same time, you have to operate within the marketplace. That means that all the actors, the economical actors that are involved,
are the positive force within a capitalist way of thinking. So they are moving within certain set of rules, of course, but in order to, because making money is a positive value, it's a philosophy in a way, but within certain rules. That's the idea. So moving within the marketplace is the key thing. So that means, okay, so this is a very interesting keyword. So if you have to do it within the marketplace, you have to do the low rise, you have to do that, means what? Eh?
So if there is low rise, there's little money for the investment.
Exactly. So?
So we should pass to the high density.
Bella! Exactly! That's it. Exactly the point. Exactly, this is the point. That means that I have to do the identity in order to make this. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So you start to understand. I create a set of rules that are in some way rules that can be acceptable, and there are different rules than the idea I come with a bulldozer, I create 5 or 6 skyscrapers, and that's it. Okay? I decided to keep that continuity, the things, the urban grid, and I even say you have to be low rise, but I have to do it high density in that way. So you have to increase the density. Because increase the density is not only, let's say, can be positive in many, many points of view, but surely, it is related to that. So, there is a very other important word in the game. You have to know this word, you have to take notes. What are you doing? You are looking at me, you have to take notes. Otherwise it is useless. Okay. So, there is another very important keyword. Is a guest? Huh? No, I was over there, not there. She's an architect, yes. So you have to operate. Okay, now, the issue is, there is another keyword. To have the keyword is fundamental. It's fundamental. Because you go to the display where you say, marketplace. Fine. Well, what is the other keyword? In order to have these things in relationship, the other key magic word is feasible. My project must be feasible, fattibile. Come si dice in italiano? Must be feasible. Yes. Must be feasible, that means that must be feasible in terms also to operate in the marketplace. So I must have a ratio of different things to make the economical operation feasible. And feasible from a number of different actors. Now you are recording, I understand, no? No. Okay. Must be feasible from it's useless if you record, but I record myself, and you have my record in the web page. Okay, so feasible. You understand? You start to understand how the game goes. And you go, this is 3%. Now, let's go on. This is how the city is. What do they decide? Okay. Then they make this decision at a certain point. Okay, we have these dilapidated neighbors. We want to create an urban renewal. We want to inject energy to move this whole thing. So what they decided is, they said, all right, you know what? We'll do a master plan. We do a master plan of this neighborhood, or the strategic rules of these neighbors in order to activate this process.
So master plan means competition, and there are several accidents. But they are done all, this is very interesting, they were a palpable force. So that means that there was an architect and a builder, a very important builder, because we are talking of huge things, okay? So, you know that, yeah? But I don't know if you can be happy, but I mean, not by the age of time, I'm going to be done.
Deep tender, each other, two together, together, you have much more.
Same, okay.
Collaborating?
Yes, collaborating. The competition was signed by the, an industry firm of contracts and they acted together. Together. So this competition was won by architect Yeong Min-pei, a very important architect at the time that became extremely important later, Yeong Min-pei, and a developer in America called Developer, Zeckendorf. They won this competition. And what they said, all right, they said, okay, in order to make this thing feasible, otherwise we don't put our hands on this matter, we put three skyscrapers, this here in this piazza, you see, close to the river, over here, and then we can create, you start to see here, all these other parts as an infill that will enter in the existing grid in order to move this process. Okay? So, the municipality accepted that. It's a negotiation. It's a negotiation. If we want to do this, probably we have to do this. So we have to allow this quantity, in a way, to initiate the process. So this is what's done, and the competition was, as I told you, won by INPEI, that made these three towers and this block over here. Then, for a series of reasons, he decided to, Zeckendorf and INPEI decided to stop their architectural job. This was enough. And at this point, okay, so they did this. At this point, Lusauer, that was operating as a young architect in the planning commission, step after step entered in this site plan and created many of these other buildings. So what we are going to see in reality, it is all this story in some way. We are going to see these projects. And these projects are all Lusauer projects in Society Hill that were done in a way implementing the original plan of INPEI. Because basically INPEI did only the tower and this block here. Okay? Tower did many, many other projects and buildings, but we are concentrated now only in the project in Society Hill, and we are going to see this material, and we are really, what we are always thinking is basically how to transfer some of this idea in the actual situation, and particularly in the assignment that you're going to do it tomorrow, on Sunday, because as I told you at the beginning, everything it is operative. At the end of the book, there is a bibliography of more than 120 projects that he did, probably 80 or so completed. So he had a huge production, but we are concentrating, particularly now, for the sake of our this one. Okay? So we finished chapter one. As you say, we have 8. Okay. So this gives you a little bit of background. Let's now move a little bit in another chapter. So we understand what is this Society Hill, this thing, this the key word So all the projects of Sauer were done within these rules, and they were done within the marketplace. And in one part of the book I summarize the principles. Okay, this is, I think, a useful summer. Okay, one aspect that is already built from this point of view. Okay, so these are the points that in some way summarize the what I said before. What are the strategic points of the renewal of society? The strategic priority that the city of Philadelphia gave to the urban renewal in society for the residential revitalization of the entire city center was strategic, of course, the choice of society. The arrival of the professional class in the neighborhood, drawn by the quality of the housing and the elegantly residential nature of society. That was another important point, because basically being dilapidated, being everybody moved out, was important to bring back some residents of quality in the inner city. The use of a system of funding from the federal government, from the state of Philadelphia, from the city of Philadelphia, to buy the land, to install the infrastructure, to renew and renovate the historical building. The awarding construction work to private sector companies under public tender rules, which in turn enable the public administration to ensure quality standards on the project. The sale or renting of housing under the free market terms and conditions, the restoration of the buildings only of the highest architectural and stylistic value, the coordinating of urban planning, regulatory and legislative action. These are only to remember some of the things that you may find in much more details in the book. Now, let's start to think about this architect. Now we move from this situation to an architectural concept, okay? So we kind of change. This chapter we change. I want to develop with you a concept, an architectural thinking process that was very important for Sauer and was strategic for many of his projects in Society Hill. This idea is we may say is the difference between inside and outside. For Sauer, this is a very strong and conceptual concept that in a way is a kind of driving force of a way of thinking that allowed him to do lots of things. So for him, the world of the inside of an architecture is completely different from the world of the outside. And so this in a way is an heretic position, if you think in traditional modernist term. Because in traditional modernist term, there is a machine, and the machine is consistent, in a way. While the idea of the difference between the inside and the outside, in some way, is related to another way of thinking, much more traditional, in a way, or if you want, much more postmodernist, in a way, you know, that there is, an outside face that is very different from the inside world. So the interesting thing of the way of thinking of Sauer, as you are going to see, is that this concept of the difference, of the profound difference between the inside and the outside, he became a very, very strong and useful concept in order to deal with the issues that he is doing. So he really became extremely useful and instrumental, as we are going to see in a second. This this is an image that gives you rather interesting information from my point of view. So this is the inside of one of his houses in which he inhabited. When I arrived and met him, I met him in this house that was in Pittsburgh. The house on the outside is this one. So basically you have absolutely, and this is very interesting, absolutely no clue whatsoever of the of this inside world. In a way, this is really a very interesting, also philosophical in a way concept, and has a lot to relate to the to a culture in which even the two words of house, they have two words, house and home. Home is more related to the psychological, familiar, and intimate sphere, while house is the kind of the public. So you understand that this idea is kind of rather radicated. So for him, he's always developed that idea of the difference, of the dichotomy of the inside and the outside. And it's a concept that goes on and on. And now we are going to see another house, for example. This is a house near the sea. And you see how it looks like almost a fortress, right? When we were boys, we were playing with the soldatini, you know, in the Fortino, right? So it seems one of those Fort Alamo type of thing, right? But when you look at the inside, again, it's a completely different world, you know? While the outside is so kind of protective, close, homogeneous, while the inside is so completely different. And this is a position that is a rather original position, if you think, because many architects wanted to activate with a much stronger ego, in a way, the outside world. They want to present, you know. So this concept of the difference of the inside and outside, you say, all right, okay. Interesting. What do we do with this? So now we see two small projects that are really, in a way, are the minimum type of densification that you can imagine. All right. Then we're going to see much larger ones. But this is really simple. It is very small. And we'll tell you how this concept of the inside and outside and the concept of densification will work all together. And how all these things start to interrelate in a real architecture situation. So, this is a street of Philadelphia today. This was not a rich street. The houses along this street originally were rather run down, and you have to imagine this as a very poor and dilapidated neighborhood. Okay. Now, in this case, okay, look at this scheme over here. This one on top. Okay. This one shows pretty well the situation. So the typology, the existing typology of the street, as I told you, was a kind of poor street originally, was organized in this way. A street, three floors, 1, 2, 3, a basement, and a backyard separated by a wall, and then same thing on the other side. 1, 2, 3 floors, a basement. This typology was called in Philadelphia the Trinity because basically it was only one room for floor, so kind of small. And I think the span, it is around 4 meters, 80 centimeters, 5 meters, not more than that. So rather compact. So what Sauer did, because he was doing a lot of surveys of the existing city as a young architect, basically he suggested to a client a very interesting technique. You have to imagine that this always is very important for everything we do in America. That is always, we have to keep it there always, otherwise we don't understand. So, the technique is this one. Okay, he said, all right, look. This is a backyard. Street. This is each house of the Trinity, right? Said, okay, you know what? You as a client, you have to buy two of these, or even one, two, and three, and develop an economical and architectural strategy of densification of these within the rules that are possible. And this strategy of basically densification will be done within the marketplace, even if you are a single person, because what you do, since this is a very dilapidated area so far, you can buy quite low, then you can ask a loan, right? You can ask for a loan, and then I created over here more than one unit in order that you can pay off the loan with the rent of one. So the densification process is also at the same time evidently an economical process. And if the two are not together, they don't work. So he made several studies in, you know, this type of system, what you do and what you don't do. And then at the end he was able to convince the client to buy this situation. Is what we see over there. So that is existing. And now let's see what he did. And this is start to be rather interesting. He did a series of operations that transformed completely the existing typology. First thing that he did, what was the backyard there was excavated. Okay? So from the backyard, this went down, okay? So basically, it's not more three floors, but it is basically one more, right? Because it takes advantage of that. Of course, with modern technology, modern materials, and all these things, you can do these things much more efficiently than in a way. So if you know how to do it, you can go underground. This is a very important thing. Because how you can, in order to densify, you have to take, not only the densification has to be limited in the height, if you don't attack the ground, the underground. So taking that, in some way, much advantage of the underground is fundamental in a process of densification. Otherwise, it's difficult to do. You understand? But if you know how to do it from a design point of view, from a technical point of view, and from a material point of view, all things that are rather possible today, you can take really a great advantage, and you can make within the feasibility things, this, all this. But you must know how to do it. Because if you don't know how to do it, of course it ends up. So we have discovered the underground as a process of densification. And this is here. And you say, all right, this underground What is the first rule of the underground in architecture? Yes, it's a variation of light. The first rule of underground in architecture is very simple. You don't have to know that it's underground. You don't have any clue that it's underground. You don't have to perceive that it's underground. You must take for granted that it's not underground. That is the first fundamental rule. So, in a way, we'll see the most beautiful part of the night. No? Otherwise, you lost. So, the first rule of underground is that you don't have any perception that it's underground. Because in the moment that you do, you lost immediately. So, it's the best part, in a way. So, he excavated this, and he put along this area the most beautiful part of the house. Now we'll see how he did it. Okay. Then, basically, you understand from the how the things are arched, that there are two units here, right? One that is entered from this part, and another part that is entered from that part, correct? Okay. Then you see that this is one unit, right? Smaller. And this is another unit, larger. Okay? Then you understand that from an economical point of view, I can probably, it depends how much money, either I live in the smaller unit and I rent the larger one to get the loan back, or vice versa. In this particular case, it was vice versa. That means that the owner took this and he rented that in order to pay back the loan. Okay? Now, let's see from a design point of view how these things was done. Okay, here is how it was done. It was done with the invention of an inside green heart. Okay? The invention of the inside green heart is all that idea that the inside is profoundly different from the outside. So there is a secret inside world that is the secret inside garden that is the home place in a way. And it's completely different from the urban outside. And you have absolutely no clue that such a thing exists. So, what you see here, that's why I put some time in order before saying anything. Because this is really what I described. So, it's a green heart. It's not idea, it's need, it's philosophy, it's everything. It's all aesthetic in a way. It's not functional. It has not to be felt as a functional thing. It has to be felt as a secret, magic space. So, naturally, this is absolutely fundamental in order to organize the unit from a distribution point of view. So now, let's see how these things work in order to do. Let's see the first unit, the larger one, okay? You enter from the street, okay? You enter, there is an entrance, there is a studio, a little studio. The studio means that it's a place in which you can either work or sleep in one person. S means say for studio, and is more or less this. So here, what we see, we can take this ramp of stairs that go down, and you take here, whoop, and you arrive here. What is this space? It is a void space. So the studio space looks, overlooks in the space below here, and of course takes out the other space here. And here, of course, is a railing, because otherwise, boom, you fell down, okay? So you are right here, and then you have this space. This space, technically, where it is? Voila! It is technically underground. So what is the last thing that you want? Exactly. And so what is the last thing that you do, you don't do? You don't do any of those horrible high windows over there. That is the most horrible mistake that you can do in such a case. Because the people are ignorant, they don't understand. Because since the concept is that you don't have to perceive that you are underground, the last thing that you want to do is those windows over there. They will give you the space. So you are completely protected there. You say, but Jennifer, it's not the southern light. No! You cannot have southern light in this case. Because otherwise it is the space. Understand? So everything that is censored, this is the key thing, on this inside garden. So this space, incredible, although it's underground, it is just a fantastic space, because as we are going to show you in the picture, everything is gravitating over there. Okay. And you see how it is drawn? It is drawn all with greenery. And there is this PB. What the hell is this PB? It is impossible that you know. Huh? It is inside, I'll tell you what it is. It is PB, stands for planting bed, a bed of plants. They are inside, and this is very important, because having plants also here in this planting bed, you will see in the picture, will create this effect of continuity between the inside and the outside. Then you have this corridor, you go in this other part of the room, of the. And here there is a strategical decision. Let's see if you can understand what I mean. If you look at that space, there is a very important strategical decision, which is no. Yes,
the narrow corridor.
Eh? Yeah, of course you do it in the narrow corridor, because it's funny. The strategic decision, it is, where you place kitchen. That is always very important. Now, the strategic decision, absolutely fundamental, is to have the kitchen far away, back there. And not how it should seem more logical, closer to the garden. Why? Because since the idea of the inside garden is this kind of magical place, the last thing that you want to have is a broom or something to dry, or the typical technicalities that goes out of the kitchen. In the second, if you have a broom there, you kill the garden. So that's why this decision was rather logical. It's basically really an aesthetic decision at the end. You know, you understand how important these things are. So if I move the kitchen over there...
But sure, the kitchen is underground, no?
Yes, also the kitchen is a little bit underground, because they are on the same level. Probably there is... I see there are two steps. So probably this one is a little bit higher. Okay, but still is underground. And so, kitchen over there, and here is dining again. So, basically there is all cream around the garden. You understand? Seems secondary, but it's not. Okay. So, we know how to do it. Now, we go back here at the entrance. We take our stairway, and we go up, and we have one level, bedroom, and bathroom closet, and then another bedrooms or another space on top with a little terrace. If we go on the other side of the street, We enter, living dining. Here, kitchen is posed over here. I will tell you why. Then goes up another level. There is all empty space. So you gain, kind of three-dimensionality here, right? Void. So this is again a little studio. You go up and you have the bedroom. Very interesting detail is this one. Why the kitchen counter is put like that along this part. Because this is the way to keep as far as possible the introspection from this apartment to this other one. You understand? Because of course if I do that, it would be not easy to, because of course in the typology there are these tricks in a way. So we understand that with this invention of this house, this house apartment that moves in this way, and this other one, he gained all these things. It's a process of densification in a way, or you are creating more cubic space than before. You may say that originally here were living probably 10 people, okay, in the 19th century, and now they are living with today's standard 5. But it's a process anyway of densification, right? Because we are creating more cubic space. And the other thing is not only this and this, but also, of course, the fact that we are building in this way, you see, this part and this part in some way are added. Now, let's see what it looks like. Okay, here is an inside perspective and we see what we just saw. So this is the small apartment over here. And this is the larger one, okay? Now, let's see some images. Okay, this is what I was telling you about the the inside garden. Okay, this is exactly the idea that I wanted to communicate. This is the planting bed, see? That creates makes the thing even larger in a way. And here there are certain issues of form making that they look very strange, in a way. This is it. This is another view. Same man. Yes. No, Philadelphia, no. It's another, no. From the climate point, this is very interesting, exactly, because you basically, these are architecture, this particular case is an architecture done in the 62, 63, where the problem of gas, basically gas was like water in America. Was like water. So, that was not an issue, really. Because, of course, if you think with our standard of today, is that the last thing that you want to do is to create a hole inside the thing, because for temperature it's another thing, Or you take a lot of consideration if it is south, it is north, do I have a thermal mass, I don't have a thermal mass. In Philadelphia was a rather rigid climate. So it was not done because of climate, it was done because the petrol was like water. Basically. It was not a concern in that particular moment. Okay, so these are some views. And then it is interesting when you look at this facade and you look at this facade and then you understand, which one is the building? The building is this one and you basically don't see anything. Exactly that idea of the difference of the inside and outside that was so strong for him. So in this particular case, not even a small sign, there's really that the building keeps the continuity of the street as it was. And then these things, it is on the inside. And on the other side, if you look at this facade, and you start to look with attention, what a strange form manipulation this guy has, you know? Look at this. Look, this system of bands that you use here, he must have a concept to do that. You don't wake up in the morning and you do this. Because it's also rather arbitrary. Because the first thing that you imagine is, all right, I have rooms, or I have spaces. I even imagine I have small spaces in a typical functionalist thing. Here there is, I don't remember if there is a kitchen or whatever it is, but here is exactly the same, but this goes on an empty space, on a double space, and this other one goes in a room. So, that not correspondence between inside and outside is exactly what I was telling before. He is liberated from that concept. So, why? Because he's thinking in other terms. He said, all right, you know what? I know these things because I was talking with him. That is not written in the book. He's your master. And you ask, well, why you did that? So he will explain to you, smoking the pipe, because we were smoking a lot of pipes at the time. There is this technique that means that when you are in a time space, you have to multiplicate the elements. This is the trick. If you are in a time space and you are multiplicating the elements, then you get a kind of enlarging perception of the space. So since here the problem is that you are in a tiny space, basically multiplicating this element, I achieve an effect of enlarging of the space. So miniaturization is a Japanese technique, he explained to me. I don't know where he learned. So, in order to enlarge the space, you manipulate, you multiplicate the elements. And then you create this, of course, as a facade with the maximum liberty in a way, because it goes from compositional, aesthetic, and concept rule, and not for a mechanic relationship between inside and outside. So you find this in two completely different situations, which is an heresia. It is something that from a typical modernist architect, you know, man, go home, redo it. No? Look. Okay. Now we see another little case of densification again. Still in a very small, then we are enlarged, you understand? We're growing and growing. But we start from the small in order that you understand this. And then we take a break, I think. Yes. So, keep attention for another hour and a half. Because to express this building is also another, only 1 hour and a half, and then we have a break. In half an hour we can do it. 20 minutes. Okay. Yes?
Why is there the small window next to the stairs that
go inside
the door?
Here? Because probably this is the kitchen. This one? You're saying this one? Yeah. Yes, because I think this is the kitchen. I was looking at it.
But this is
We can check what it is. My assumption is that this is the kitchen, because I saw it in the plan. Because in the kitchen, of course, it became too... Okay. I think this is the window that we are talking about. Clearly here, over here, well, the trade-off is illogical at that point, you know. In the, let's say, in the living part was very logical. Also because you have a lot of light coming from here, basically. But here was a little bit cruel. So, this, and that, I suppose that is that window. Very good observation I was able to answer, Takimi. Okay. Now, let's see this other building. And here the situation is different. This building is called the Butenhaus and is not directly in Society Hill. It's a little bit upper north. While here we are really in Society Hill. So it is one of these, is basically The McLennan is this house here. And, okay. This is how it looks. So you see, oh my God. This is the boy. Okay, but what's going on here? The situation is simple. In this case, the existing building was destroyed by a fire. So there was no building. Not only, the building was bought by a banker, so it was a completely different scenario than this one. In the Butin, you can imagine two young professionals at the beginning of their life, while in this case was a rich banker of an important economical thing, and that he wanted to have this large mansion, not in the suburb, but in downtown Philadelphia. Okay? In a moment in which it was impossible, because as I told you originally, the neighborhood was dilapidated for many years. So, and then he, at that point, he really hired the architect, this young, promising architect, Lou Sauer, and said, okay, do it. So, Sauer again developed his idea, but in this case he has to do a facade. he cannot. So either he replicated exactly what he had there, or he played in the facade with a kind of game. Let's say this is a game. It's a game because there are some elements. So the concept that he was telling me all the time was, you see, all these federal buildings, this is the style that is there, all these federal buildings, the facade, they don't reveal what there is inside. The facade is done for the street. It's not done to tell what is inside. In fact, all the windows are the same. You know, they are repeated the same, even if there is a studio, a bedroom, a dining, doesn't make any difference. So it's a facade, really, on the street, that hides the inside. So, going with that concept, he develops this type of idea, of this object, this bow window type of thing that is you see over there. And then, of course, he creates some element of continuity and some element of discontinuity with the street. But the main idea is the facade as an outside that is done for the street and not to reveal anything on the inside. Actually, it's the contrary. It's done to hide the inside. You see why this idea of the continuity of certain colors and materials as a general rules are important. This is how it looks today. Just curiosity, wake up. No, it doesn't wake up. It just sleeps there. Oh, okay. This is how it looks today after many years of construction. And here we see the house. In this case, in terms of economical reason, they don't need to have two different ones. But basically there is only one larger house that is working in its own way, and it doesn't have to have the strict rule of that. So what we immediately see that for one reason it doesn't have to create that huge big density like in the other case, and the other thing, so we can understand that the central heart of the house, it becomes not only symbolically this heart, the center of the home, but also it is very rich architecturally. We can understand that from the section. First of all, because of this sloped, inclined roof surface, and second, we understand there are many things sculpturally that happen along here. The other thing that we realize looking at the section is there are more tiny spaces here and much larger space here. Let's see the plan. Now, okay, this is the street level. You enter, very interesting enough, since the area is, the span is rather big, probably here we are around 7 meters or so, 720 probably, it is possible to do something that is not always possible to do. That means to have an entrance and then to have some rooms here, and then still keep these things there, you see? So from you, when you enter, basically, in this space, actually, yes, this is the door of the house, but basically there is another door that brings here, but either this part is a kind of the collective, semi-urban part of the house, if you want. Because if you go along here, you basically arrive to the central, to the central piazza, we may call it in this case. Like it's a little urbanity there, right? And you see that it's immediately in the way that is drawn, that idea. So, let's do this. We enter here. It is a service area. You enter from a service area. Very strange, you know? If you think in typical terms. So you have a tiny dining breakfast area, a kitchen, put it back there, and a dining here. This gives exactly, immediately the idea that this is a high-class situation. Because this situation works only well if you have a maid, basically, that works over here, you know? Basically, that is the typology, because otherwise the women over here doesn't want to be confined in this corner over there, you know, where all the activities happens in other ways. So this goes with that idea. Then you have the formal dining on the courtyard, and then basically courtyard, then you are over here, and then you have a pool, this is a pool, and the formal living with a garden back there, that is partially synced, that we can see in the kitchen. So the formal area is over there. Then what happened? From here, there is a series of levels. You can go up along here and arrive again to a studio. The studio space goes in a double level, so this means that this is empty on this level. Then you go up again and you arrive to the formal bedroom area. What is the whole point here? To have the children as far as possible. This is how the high class lives. Very interesting. The children have to be as far as possible. In fact, are confined. This is fantastic. On the opposite side of the house, look at this. It is clearly in their own area over here, independent entrance, probably a maid or somebody that takes care of them, but, you know, this is a, it is interesting when you see a plan, you really understand how things operate, because in another type of operation, this will be a nightmare. Now, this will not work, you know. So, basically, means that all this area is the area of the children. They enter, yes, they arrive here, they have probably two communicating, not communicating, two small bedroom studios, a place for them. I don't know how it is. No, probably they have two little studios here and a place to have a game here, or I don't know, but anyway, they are bedrooms. I don't know exactly how these are B, that means bedroom. So these are basically bedrooms, one of which is clearly for an independent person that will take care of them, like au pair or something like that. Then from the plan we understand all these things that we knew because we saw the sections. Okay? So we saw the section, so we understand that these things are related to the roof, right? Over there. We understand also these things, again the same trick, that basically the living, this is the street level. So the garden, again, over here, is slightly sank down over here. Now, let's see some... So this is the typology, more or less, how it works. These are some elevation of the inside. And here it is how it looks like from the inside. Again, even the material are completely different. You see how important is this concept. You know, outside we have the brick, the continuity with the thing, and here we have another completely different world. Here we have a kind of almost a modernist type of assemblage and different materials. This is the taste. This is a rather interesting choice. I don't know if I will do it myself, but the idea here is to have this window at the level of where you are seated, basically. I don't know if it is how effective it is, but this is how it is. I'm not completely sure. And then here you have this almost a la Gaudí world, because basically you go from one terrace to the other up to the roof, and then you can arrive up there. You can actually be there. I don't know if there is a picture there. Okay? So we saw this, these two minimum levels of densification. We understood that underground is very important. We understand that the distribution system cannot, is very intricate and very particulated, but is not separated by an architectural strong idea, an architectural spatial strong idea. Without that, the two things will not work. Yes. No, no. Because basically...
Yes, exactly.
You can do whatever, basically. The problem is, I remember that Sauer told me that he made other studies, other typologies. He said he would have bought others. But in this particular case, the owner just bought this and this. So you imagine a street that is with a very low cost, so you can tie it.
As long as it's like a complex, density complex, then you have to disappear those different demands you have for different houses.
The problem is exactly what you said. It's exactly this. If you have to study in general terms how you can create a much higher density here, you study different techniques. So we see the solution this or different type of situation. If you are thinking in a more general terms, it's exactly what Sauer did, a study. And then he was only able to implement this particular thing. Actually, I never saw the other studies that he did. He told me that he did a lot. He played a lot. So he had a lot of different design combinations as a kind of avatar of situation when he was a young architect. In a way, it was something that he was doing that a little bit as a research also. I don't know in which particular he was at the master or in the municipality, but he was developing all these studies. Then he was able to actually do all of this. But it is clearly that you have to think in more general terms, you develop different studies. The particularity is that this is within the existing city, you know, within the existing dimension and things like that. Okay? So it is interesting because we saw very different things. You know, we saw one thing that is really very, very precise in terms of the economical situation. You know, the Buten House, you know, it is clear, and this is a much larger. We saw the underground. We saw also very important this idea that everything is moved by an architectural concept at the same time. Without the architectural concept, you cannot create the complexity of the thing. The architectural concept is one thing that is integrated within your everything. Okay? So, facciamo un break, This book one. So, we saw this. We saw them from my computer, but are the same image, you understand, no? The process. That's why it's important that everything is in internet. Okay, we saw Buten and McLennan, and now let's talk about this chapter that is called Relazione con relationship with the context, and we do this with these two projects, with these two roll-outed projects, and I think for today would be enough, okay? And then from tomorrow we attack higher density, that is the idea. Okay, now, this first project that you are talking is this one that is called Locus Street Townhouses. But I wanted to tell, to talk this about this issue that is very, 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 very important for our, for Sauer, is that we called the relationship with the context. You remember that before we talked of the big important difference that for this architect it is between the inside and the outside. The inside as a world with a big strong spatiality, is the world of the home, is the world of the individual, is a world on its own sphere. And the world on the outside instead is the world of the public face, the city, the urbanity, and so on and so forth. But this concept of the outside, it is also at the same time a concept that creates a dialogue much more active than you may think at the beginning between the architecture and what is outside on the urban part. So the dialogue between the architecture and what is in the city, it can be so strong for the simple reason that the inside is different. Understand? That can be so extreme, like in the case of the Buten House, that you basically leave the facade exactly like it was, exactly because there is a difference between inside and outside. So since the inside belongs to its own world, then the outside can be liberated to a high level to create a lot of different relationships with the context. Okay? This is a logical step, but it's very important to understand architecture-wise. So it is exactly the concept of the difference between inside and outside that allows this architect to have a really large number of possibility of relationship with the context in his architecture. Okay? So what we are seeing now with these two projects are two completely different type of relationship with the outside. I mean, there are two ways to relate with the outside that motivate for very profound contextual reasons. So are reasons that has to do with the context in which this architecture arrives. Okay? So, the story of this is rather strange because at a certain point INPEI that did the other row houses didn't want to do this other little row house in front of the tower, okay, in front of the tower. He didn't want to do it, or I don't remember how. And then Sauer told me, yes, okay. Then, so at that moment, another developer came to me and said, Lou, you want to do this? And he, as an architect, a young architect, said, of course I wanted to do it. But he said, then I called INPEI. He told me this, important, good manners. I said, you know that this I'm doing to do this, this, and do you mind? And I said, okay, Lulu, go, do it. So, basically, he found himself in this situation. The tower, over there. This street, over there. And this building designed by INPEI, like that one, with this relationship that we saw. Now, he said that he could not sleep for quite some time because he felt that how can I create a little building, just a simple row house, not even a courtyard type, because it is a courtyard, just a simple row house, without being killed, in a way, formally killed, by the presence of this tower. Because basically, when you have this huge difference of scale, you know, something so big and something so small, those are really formally killed, you know, how can I say? It's very difficult to create a relationship between things of such a big scale. Particularly because the the residential architecture tends to be done by minor details, lots of minor details. And really, in this case, more minor details you create, in this particular case, the more, in some way, in the scale relationship, the small things is going to be killed. So, thinking and thinking and thinking, he came out with this solution that we see better over here. What is the idea? The idea was to create a very strong and abstract architecture. An architecture that was in some way solid, strong, rhythmic, as you can see, and in some way abstract. All these reasons are all reasons that are really related to the decision that he made to make this one in some way not be killed by the presence of the tower, but in some way being able to create its own presence on the street, its own dignity as an architecture, also, although much smaller. But this is really be seen in relationship with this particular context. In another part, would be completely absurd. How he did that? He did in this way. He, first of all, formally, he created... there is one aspect that it is interesting to discuss here. Let's say the traditional federal building typology, so what is some way traditional there, you can describe as with a base that sometimes it contains elements, can be a little different, right? A base, a body that generally keeps the stratification of the elements, and then an attic, of course with variation, but the tripartite system, base, that should be vice versa probably, base, body, attic, in some ways the typical way that a traditional building is organized. What he's doing often in this exercise, he's kind of taking some element of this kind of traditional composition and taking out one or two, so that create a kind of tension, that there are some elements that in some way recall what is in the context, and in some other elements that don't recall, so create a much more contemporary aesthetic. Because if you look at this building, you will not say, of course, that it's a traditional building, but at the same time, it's not something completely alien to a way of looking at it. And this is done as a technique that, transformation of some of that pattern. So what is the idea here? Okay, the idea is, of course, everything here is rather complex. The idea here is, okay, I create a base, and then I create this base with towers. If I create this base with towers, I can create this almost as a block that is able to compete with the tower. And then I create this, so a base and a body. But there is, and this is absolutely fundamental, there is no attic. There is no something that stops this. So it's very important how these elements will attack the sky. In order to do that, this difference is the key. That the building has to stop before, as you see there. Because in feedback allows this effect, and allows the effect to elevate this. Okay? So basically this is a building with a base, and the base becomes very strong, a body, but not an attic that closes it. But actually exactly the contrary. This has to be in some way like small towers, in some way. And those small towers are those that create the energy of the architecture and the capability to say the dialogue with the other one.
How many floors
are there? We see there are three or three now. We'll see now the plans, I don't remember, but I think there are probably three now. So, having done this decision, and that this decision is not taking 1 hour, you may have it immediately, or you can take months before arriving to a decision like that, because all propositional things are like that. Then there is the other very clear decision. You create very strong chiaroscuro, that means backward and forward as much as possible, because you want to create kind of strong, this thing has to be strong in order to work. And you create a very clear differentiation between what is A, that has to be read as a whole, and what is B, that has to be read as a whole as well. So it is clearly here. So it's an architecture without, with a base, without covering on the top. The towers are attacking the sky, and the rhythm is clearly A, B, A, B, A, B, although actually it's very important that there is this sub-rhythm, but it's clearly the difference between this and this. And this in some way are unified at the first level of reading, of course, although they are clearly differentiated, but it's very important that are read in the first instance as a difference A, B. Clear? Chiaro?
Sorry, but you're telling us that the contemporary architecture is like a personal solution or strategy, or it's also related to the cultural urbanistic area?
I'm taking that it's a negotiation between both, exactly this. It is a negotiation between many elements. One element, for example, it is the urban pattern and certain urban form, and some ways how you change that form. And you change that form also. Absolutely. So, where do you want to arrive?
Contemporary buildings and styles and architecture, and like we have to know more, like other architects where we can be based on and other references.
I don't understand.
Tell
Ledian, and then Ledian will tell me later. Okay. Tell Ledian, and then I will answer later. But I don't understand what is your point. Tell Ledian in your own language, so then he will translate to me.
No, you didn't answer the
your question. Yes.
My question is that, like, for this course, we have the Louis.
Yes, absolutely. Only. We are yes. Yes. I mean, it's clearly not your fault, but since you arrived 15 minutes late, you are wasting time around this issue that was very clearly from the beginning. But it's fine. Okay. So here it is a more detailed part, right? And you see exactly what I was telling you in more detailed situation. So the difference, the very strong difference between what is building as the tower solid, the strong chiaroscura, the way to have this contrast, and the key idea is that this part, it is compact in a way, you know. So you don't have differentiation, for example, between roof, floor, windows. In the first glance, this is, has to be seen as a whole, right? You see? And then it is differentiated in, inside. This is very important, because otherwise you cannot have that reading A, B, A, B, and you cannot have that that effect on the street that you want to. And I remember that Lou was telling me how much he suffered by the fact that, so this is how it looks, we can go back, yeah, how it looks. How much he suffered from, here are the conscious, are the relationship between the two. So you will see what it is very clearly when you go there, that in some way it makes more sense in relationship with the tower. This building done by a different architect, but the other one that makes the same, that the same architect did, you know. This one at the end seems really that, that miniaturization almost creates a contrast not very effective, at least to me. While this is a very, very interesting, at least this is my judgment, relationship with the context. Now we can see how that was possible to be done, how that was possible to be achieved, technically speaking. Because this is rather unusual, you know. It's not very normal to have something like that.
It looks like a prison.
It looks like a prison, yeah. Yes. It looks like a prison. I don't understand the question.
The towers.
Yes.
Do they have any function in the inner side, or they are more, they have more high difficulty to meet this architectural?
The tower.
Not a big tower.
Yeah. We are going to see the plan, because this will be interesting. This will be interesting. How was possible to achieve this effect? And this urban, this decision to in some way make such a strong urbanity that even one person can say that is a prison. Because that's the point, you know. Each one in his aesthetic judgment is free to say whatever he wants. His anesthetic is prison, is fine. The interesting point is why an architect that will do completely different things, in this case, can do that, and this makes a lot of sense in the context. And how everything is done within the marketplace, that means that these places are possible to be sold, etc., and to be in the marketplace. So this is very interesting, and we have to look at the plan. So first of all, that you have to understand is that these are really almost, not really luxury, but almost very high standard houses. That's the first thing. Why? Because you must have, but this is the trick, a very large span in order to do that. Otherwise, how otherwise you can put the tower in front? Is impossible. You want, imagine the typical row house. You want to open as much as possible. So this was possible because this was a very large span townhouses. So they were almost 7 meters and 20 centimeters. So very large. Imagine, remember that the Butin was around 480. So this is, the Butin was like this. So here was possible because it was very large. So what he did, basically, he created the first so-called tower. It is the entrance at this level, then you enter, and the second one was a chimney. So one is the entrance and one is the chimney. So there is living, then you go down one level and you have dining, kitchen, and a deck there. Or you go up and you arrive, yes, you go down a little bit, then again down, and then up here. So there is a difference in section. Then you arrive, you go up, and you have one complete bedroom and another complete bedroom, and here you have the master suite. And the master suite, since it's so large, you can have such an incredible thing to have a closet in the front, which is the last thing that you normally do. The closet, normally, it is, of course, where there is no light. And again, the chimney. So that will create that very, very peculiar effect in the facade. And all this it is done, again, within a marketplace. So this gives you the idea for how much for this architect that it is so precise in terms of the arrangement and organization of the housing, and later on we'll see much more complex projects, how much important is this accountability of the context of the context. So it's a strategy, it's a kind of obsession, if we want to have a word that really belongs to the architecture. I think it is very clear in this image, you know, really how to create an architecture that is able to create a dialogue with the tower. And what type of decision. And then the other interesting thing is that this is really his first building in Society Hill. So it was rather daring to do that. And one thing that he told me a lot was that he was really nervous that the developer cut it 2 feet here. Originally, his design was with 2 feet over here, and the developer cut it for budget reasons. He said, no, look, this is really too much. Because already this was, of course, something extra, that basically, from a typical construction point of view, is not really needed. So it is clearly done for this complex of reasons. Again, the interesting thing of all this, that this is done within the market, the marketplace. So that means with a combination of many factors that allow this solution to happen. Now let's see an opposite case, just the opposite of this, exactly the opposite. Now, okay, so we've been there, we move. And now, instead, let's go in this other situation. Let's go along this path. We are approaching this place that is one of those monuments that has been restored because there were, let's say that this was the old market place of the neighborhood, the actual Philadelphia. This was one of the been restored, etc., etc. So it's kind of an important part for them. This. Okay. Now, let's go back. So, this street is characterized by the tower there. Here. And on this other side, by the market. So, the last thing that he really wanted here is exactly the tower that we saw before. Exactly. So, this architect doesn't have a signature of a style, because you said, okay, he's the guy of the prison, he makes prison everywhere, he's great, this tower I recognize, I don't want a prison, and I don't want tower, I want a prison, let's make tower. Like many architects do, because they do it because of their signature, of their style, or their attitude. Instead, in his case, it doesn't work like that. It's really the context that is the driving force of his decision. So this is another building of tower that is basically exactly the opposite of the other as for making principle. Exactly the opposite. Why? Because in this idea, he said, okay, here the architecture must be almost anonymous. must be almost like a skin that is scratched. This is what he told me. It's like a screen that is stretched between this element, the head house market, and this one. So it will work as a kind of screen. And in order to allow the two final objects to emerge and in kind of accompany the city life and not create a point of relationship like in the other case of the tower. So this architecture is basically just the opposite. How does it work? The idea is this one. The one in this case, this was a base and a free thing. This is very simple. The idea is very simple once you realize. Is that if this is an architect, it becomes all body. It becomes only body. It's basically only body. There is no basement and no attic. It is all body. Ooh. So all elements that in this case, for example, are creating as a kind of characterization of the architecture, the tower, the chiaroscuro, and all these things are eliminated. It is a body. It's a stretch screen. And then within that, you just play very, very softly with what is the element that you can do to characterize this body, that is the rhythm. You create a certain rhythm along this street. And particularly you do it with the tool of an asymmetrical dynamic composition, kind of an abstract dynamic contemporary composition and not a static symmetrical one. So the trick is this one, is very elegant, I think. There is a symmetry, actually, but it is a mirror type of symmetry. Because look, basically each unit, once you know you understand, each unit, you can identify it by this line. This line. This line creates basically the unit, but then the composition of the window, down, is basically asymmetrical and very dynamic within that thing. So the repetition of that along the street, it creates that kind of rhythm along the stretched composition of the overall. Here it is. So if we go back here we see the image. This is the other complex that we'll talk tomorrow, as we increase the level of complexity. Here it is. And you understand exactly, I think, what I meant. Here again in the context. The typology in this case is this is a classical row house. It is a classical row house. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4 level. That means that this level is underground. That the garden is at least partially sinked down, right? So you enter, you go down half level, to the living. The living, it is open to a garden, to a terrace garden, and it is clearly, you don't perceive that it's underground, because it's all centered in towards the garden. And here there is a utility situation. Okay? This should be probably 1 meter, 2 meters underground. But it sinks so you don't perceive and you have the garden in front. Or, from the entrance, you go up, and then you up, okay? And you arrive to kitchen, dining, empty space that overlooks here. you go up another level, bedroom. You go up to the other level, another two bedroom with bathroom. So it's rather classic with these empty spaces, particularly this and this, that gives a dynamic sensation in the living room, that of course has this empty space, and along the entrance that is over here. Okay. Okay. So, sono 5, there are 5:35. We want to discuss, because if I have a question, stop, do something more informally, or because to open another, I can open another topic, of course, or we can keep it for tomorrow when we are more fresh, because we are approaching more.
I think we can have a discussion.
Yes, okay. I open to whatever you want.
Can I start with the
question? Yes.
I remember your intervention after Fuchs's presentation during Piranha Architecture Week. And you told that there are some things that the author of an architecture is not always capable to understand, or he does these things in an unconscious way. And in this case, I was thinking about the intervention of Kay, that created the tower, but was not able to solve somehow the integration of two bodies. And we saw a second architect coming.
Yeah.
And with a different sensibility.
Si.
Resolving the situation. Yes. So, really, it's not bad, but what is the formula of creativity, or how do you solve problems? You just have to have a new book every time, or you have to look it from outside, or looking things from outside, maybe it's a good way to look.
Yeah, an observation. It is an observation. I think what is my opinion is very simple. It's like dunque, questo voglio spegnere questo, cioè questo qua. Ok, on or off. Ok, e questo è acceso, dovrebbe prendere questo e questo. Well, ok, but anyway, we'll do it, perché vi volevo mostrare qualcosa del libro, per questo l'avevo preso. Ok. Please boot the game to complete the shutdown warning. Ah no, forse lo devo riaccendere un'altra volta. Ok, adesso lo riaccendiamo. Forse perché è spento due volte. Well, anyway, my point is very simple. My point is that in order to process information, you must have information. Simple. If you don't know anything, you cannot create anything. So that's why I insist so much in these things, because all these things create a database in some way of approach and of techniques. We are basically only covered 20%, 25% of the whole thing, out of which you can start to combine things. So I believe strongly that the architect is first of all a very cultivated person. So he knows things. If the only thing that he knows is an apartment block with one stairway in the middle, or a building done with four, the culture is very important for us, because the culture allow us to have enough information to be processed and to be reformulated. The other thing is, of course, that there are some of us that are more diving. They want to take challenge at a higher level, and that means a lot of things, you know, like in sport, like in many things, that you know that you must be stronger, it takes more time, it makes more effort, etc. And then there is another capability, that just somebody is more talented than others, that can combine better. But in order to arrive to a medium level, basically, as in many, many things, you can arrive with your effort and your passion to a medium level in all things. For example, drawing. Drawing is a classical example. Drawing is a matter of education. So if you are educated enough, you will arrive to a medium level of drawings. You will not be a master. To be a master, you must have other characteristics and capabilities. But to arrive at a medium level, you know, in many things, you can ski in medium level, if you have enough time and things. You can swim to a medium level. And same thing is for this thing. So, if you have enough information, enough culture, enough, you arrive to a medium level. Now, the thing is that in my experience, Sauer is more challenging, more passionate, and more talented than what you may call normal, in a way. Okay, here what they do, though, they are brick walls, but in America they are veneered. Basically, they are veneered. That means that generally, in this case, the construction is normally, is a wooden construction, even in these cases. Wood construction. The structure is wood. In many cases, it's wood. And then there is the insulation, and then there is a veneer of bricks. So the bricks are not bearing.
Yeah, they are from the same family, like the bricks.
Yes. And, but anyway, the bricks were in many, they are imposed by those general rules that we are saying before, you know. That, yeah, exactly. But the rules that are checked by the municipality in this particular case. Not that everybody can do it whatever he wants. So there is, that's why in the book is specified that some of the rules are controlled by the city in this case. So, yeah, okay. Yes. Yes.
I understood that practically it was the one who owned the house that was practically redeveloping it or making it with a little higher density.
Yes.
For his personal needs.
Yes.
But in this case, it is not the case of the urban sprawl. Practically, there are still living two families, so we don't have an increasement of the people living there or the number of families.
No, because the standard increased. Because in the 19th century, the standard per person was 5 meters per person. And then now today I heard from Ledian that the standard in Albania is close to 25. That is incredibly high, even from Italy of 20 years ago. Because when I was operating architect, I remember this was much lower, it was around 15 per person. So the issue is on the other side, that the standard is so probably in the previous Trinity, they were living more people, Because now the standard increased. Yes, yes, yes. Not necessary to have more people. Yes, exactly. Original, but basically you have to consider on the other side that at the time that this thing started, the whole neighborhood was not inhabited almost anymore because there was a process of, you know, abandoned the inner city. So in any way it was bringing back people. But of course not as many people as they were, and with the today's standard at a higher standard. So that is the process in some way.
And was it efficient, economically efficient, the fact that they created the whole tunnel under the road? Because it is, it has very big cost to create this thing.
Well, you are talking of the general urban. Basically, in all America, that was done at that time. It was one of the major strategy of urban redevelopment. They always did this, they always create this highway along the river, in some cases underground, in some cases on top. Evidently, for economical reasons, they were, because the whole idea behind that was that the downtown of the city was the place of business. And you must get out as soon as possible in big quantity to abandon the downtown to move in the periphery. So that was the kind of machinery idea that they, so there was that the opposite of the city was. So evidently in that particular economical moment, was acceptable to take the cost. In another moment was not. Yeah, absolutely.
Different type.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is why the first architect didn't succeed to create, let's say, the other part of the plan,
mm-hmm.
because it's very difficult somehow, sometimes to predict the how the urban situation will react if you make two things but they are different. Mm-hmm. So this is the success, of innovation in the second. From the second architect, that he makes a good analysis of how the powers react, and then the context is changed from before, and he adapts on the new context.
Mm-hmm. There is one element here that I don't know if you noticed. There is a very sophisticated element that he explained to me, but you immediately don't perceive. I don't know if you... There is one single element that creates the continuity of the street that we did not mention. Well, the first one that is evident, I will answer myself because otherwise we make it too long. So one element is, of course, that the height is similar. The other one is the brick, very similar. On the other side, the forms are completely different, as we saw. This is a basic building that is topped, etc. It's all based on this one. Or it makes the attic with this strange idea that I don't think, probably it's elegant in itself. But, well, anyway, it's there. And this one has this other idea. But Sauer told me, yes, you know, but I wanted to have a little more than that. So I literally peek one element from his architecture, and I put it in mine, in order to have that kind of relationship. So, strangely, this is very strange, because this is a very orthogonal architecture, kind of abstract, orthogonal, Mondrian-like. And, you know, when you look at this, you say, oh my God, Well, that is rather horrible. Why you put that? You know, you are playing in this kind of composition. Imagine that you are talking with one of your students, you know. Well, this is such a simple, straightforward grammar. Why you put this arch? Basically, arch is against any type of abstraction, Mondrianesque type of things. And exactly what he told me, it was exactly that. But I did because I wanted one element from I and Pei to go here in order to create some type of, of relationship, although in a very different thing. So it's a very, well, okay, I remember as a rather young architect, more modernist, I always disliked this detail. You know, I always thought, well, why put that arch? My God, it would be much more elegant, all this abstract, thing. Yes. Exactly. Yes, exactly.
I have some assumption, maybe like this strategy or architecture is related to the concept of Trinity,
of
Trinity, would you Christian? The concept of Trinity.
Yeah, no, I understand the concept of Trinity. No, I don't think, or at least he never mentioned this to me. Could be an interpretation, if it is interesting, why not? But he never mentioned to me, at least he was not...
But I've seen some architects that they're related to this theory of Trinity.
Yeah, in his case, being an architect, in some way is very pragmatic, it's not very symbolic, tower. The effect can be symbolic, but not in his way of thinking. His way of thinking, it is rather, I mean, is the context, are the tower, I want to create a stronger tower in order...
Yeah, it's like it gives power. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can interpret it symbolically, why not? But it's not something that he consciously was thinking of. Okay. All right, now let's see who is present, because this is important for me. I want to see who is actually here. TV Dreyer, c'è? Yes? No. Merita? Gilbrin? No? Ballon? Eno? Alla? Dea? Adam? Detor, Arif, Dildon, Arber, Vizar, Adri, Claudio, Denisa, Kustrim, Pana, Anita, Lady, Erion, Egla, Agi, Teuta, Albina, Ermir, Besnik,
yes.
Dashnor, Bravo. Refation? Okay, good. So, weapons for the mind. I decided to give you a free copy of this book. The free copy, of course, is a PDF. I created a special edition for you. Okay? Which is this one. I added to the normal printed one this little page. Okay? I call it, in this case, Lose Our Low Rise Identity Architecture, as I told you at the beginning. This is what we are working. So there is the date, this is the hard copy. If you, for any reason, want to have the hard copy, you just order it, okay, from this link, and then we'll arrive you home. So I added a few other information, and some links and other things, so you know. And then here starts the book, okay? So you have the weapon, the basic weapon to do this. So at this point, what we do, I'll do it while we finish. I will send the Dropbox address out of which you can download it. Okay? So you have the privilege to have the book tonight. And tonight you can do whatever. You can leave it there, or you can start to re-looking at these things. But it will be very important later on because you can work on that if you want, okay? So what I do, so we'll do it together, will be more interesting for me and less boring. Okay, I created already the Dropbox here, that is Sergiopolis, and here is the book, okay? And you download it from here. Of course, Georgie and Ledian are part of the game since you've been here. You'll get your... Probably, Georgie, I have the email. I'm not sure, though. You will give it to me now. Okay, so how I'll do it, so it will be less boring for me to... Hai capito, Ledian? Il trucco? Huh? Why I needed that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Certo che dobbiamo avere internet, se non abbiamo internet. Sì, penso che ci andiamo. Okay. Potete fare domande intanto. You can continue the discussion. Now, while doing this work, I can answer with no problem. Sergiopolis, giusto? Sergiopolis, sharing. Ok. Dov'è? Questo? Dov'è Sergiopolis? Mi aiutate? Non è? Sergiopolis, questo io voglio fare lo sharing, no? Poi lo faccio a livello precedente. Devo dire, I don't remember how you do it. Vieni, Ledian, vieni qua, dammi una mano. Sergiopolis, giusto? E poi devo dire sharing, o forse lo devo dire qui, non mi ricordo bene. Sergiopolis, un po'. Sergiopolis, sharing. Ah, ok, forse adesso. No, perché quando vado a sharing vado a quelli che ho già fatto, ecco perché, questo non mi ricordo mai. Ecco che devo fare. Allora, devo forse fare da qua, share folder. I'd like to create and share a folder, no create. Come si fa? Non vi ricordate? Io l'ho fatto mille volte, adesso mi confondo. Devo dire questo. Vediamo un po'. Share Sergio Polis, perfetto. Ok, here it is. Allora, cominciamo da Legend. Legend. Qua, giusto? Il tuo solito storico?
Sì.
Va bene, no? Ok. Ok. E uno. Poi avevamo questo. Poi abbiamo lei, o lui, lei. Come lo
fai?
Ok. Ok. È separato dall'altro?
Ci metto un comma.
Ci metto un comma?
Sì.
Ecco. Ora sì. Ok. Andiamo all'altro. Questo. Non c'è. Lei non c'è. Ah no, l'abbiamo mandata a Silvia che non è, non c'ha merito lei. Lei non deve essere. Come facciamo?
Un doppio clic. Lo puoi prendere anche da qua sopra.
Ah ecco, lo prendo da qua. Ecco. Ok, siamo qua, lei non c'è,
no.
Lei la cassiamo, poverina, povera lei, la cassiamo. Allora, poi c'è, giusto? Adesso abbiamo imparato, andiamo come delle spade. Dov'è lui? Qua? Ok. Poi, e qua, meno male che siete pochi, e questa non l'abbiamo fatta ancora, giusto?
Sì,
l'ho fatto. Questa? Questa? Ok. Ok. Poi? Poi?
11.
Ok. Abbiamo quasi fatto, eh? Così ci riposiamo intanto. Ok. Poi? Dove sono? Dove sono? Qui. Poi che mi manca?
14.
Ok. Ok, poi? Sedici. Ok. Tu controlla che vada bene. Ok. E poi qui. 16, 17. Ok. Poi abbiamo sempre qua giù. 17 l'abbiamo fatto? Giorgi, vieni qua che ci metti il tuo email se lo vuoi il libro. L'abbiamo fatto. Che forse c'è, però. Ok, ma poi lui non parla italiano. Ok, poi siamo arrivati a Egli Luca, no? A Gelka l'abbiamo fatto?
No.
A Gigeca l'abbiamo fatto? A Gigeca?
No.
Ne riceve due copie a Gigeca, se lo mettiamo due volte. Ok. E poi che abbiamo? E poi abbiamo abbiamo finito, credo, no? A Gigeca, poi abbiamo Dashor. E qua abbiamo finito, eh? E poi abbiamo quasi finito. E poi abbiamo lui.
No,
questo.
No.
Besnik, proprio. Besnik. Ok, Besnik. Paffata. Giusto? Sì, un attimo che lo guardiamo, scusami un secondo. We are finished here. Sono tutti?
Possiamo fare un cambiamento da modificazione del mio
mage?
Sì, certo, tutto quello.
Non fare modifiche di poli, però fare Gmail.
Ok, adesso lo facciamo, un momento. Calma e lo facciamo. Allora, adesso lo facciamo. Dunque, vediamo se. Non mi ricordo com'era Giorgi, così. Sì.
GJ.
No, volevo vedere se già ci avevo nel database, capito? Perché col lab in Sicilia ce lo dovrei avere forse. Beh, se no lo scriviamo. Qua ci sei? Forse non ho scritto false. Vabbè, facciamo prima segnarlo. Allora, risolvete il problema di questa persona voi, quello che vuole lui, io lo fate voi. E poi. Ok.
At, where is that?
At è qua. Ok. Ok. Adesso segniamo. Ok. Spazio. Allora, scrivi l'indirizzo, scrivilo da capo, l'indirizzo suo. No, scrivilo da capo, vabbè, fa come volete, basta che io lo faccia. Così è contento. Giustamente. Allora! Read the book tonight, page 1 to 425. Made a written.
C'è due altro?
JX.
Prego ragazzi. Prego,
Siga, altri visa, fisi, siga.
Prego.
Nathan or not?
GMZ po GMZ. Quick jet samo. Ok.
Ok? Va bene?
Ti devo scusare. Ti scusi tanto mamma
da quello. Aspetta, scusa. Sta chiamando per venire. Ecco, sta partendo, Prego. Allora, domani è full time. 9 o'clock on time.
Maximum 9:05.
I will start at 9:15.
Thank you.
Yes.
At least.
Oh my God. Okay. But you're time.
You're the fine one. Good night.
Ciao. Good night.
Bye.
Stanno contenti, molto contenti sono stati del regalo. Beh sì, perché come fanno? Questo è utile. Au, Sariara.
Sì, non sapevo che avete fatto quella pausa. Come va? Tutto bene? Anche se non sempre oggi.
Sì, oggi sì.
Sì, stavo aspettando, infatti, quindi...